the recorder, you said her name was Shay?
Esther Shay.
Esther Shay, okay, and she's in Ketchikan?
Well, she passed away now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Sure. And your older brother also helped you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he passed away.
He passed away. Who do you see taking over as the elder of the Kiksetti in future years?
Well, there aren't that many here. I mean, it's my family. And I try to mentor, like, Don. Like, I have children that I try to pass it on to. And, like, I have a granddaughter who does the weaving and everything like that, singing and dancing. So I don't know how to, I just hope some of it gets, some of it will get passed on, you know, like the weaving, like the singing and dancing, and but the part like going down to Shakes Island last summer was the first time that they had somebody go down. I went down there for years and years and did it on my own for free and things like that. But now with WCA set up the Shakes Island project, they have four of us that can go down. And last summer was the first time that Carol Snoddy went down with me. And it made me feel really good because I wasn't there by myself. And she was young enough but yet old enough to be able to take this in and maybe carry it on. And then just this last year, Don start going down there and
Hutchinson Stevens
does the tours.
Okay.
I forgot where the Don.
Oh, about the clan house and doing the tours.
Oh, yeah. And now Don is getting more serious and more interested in working with the Shakes Island Committee in the shed and doing tours. It's something that I feel that will continue, you know, because I see this happen, and I told the younger ones, I said, I've been a Tlingit elder, I've been the Indian part of this community all my life. And when I saw Esther Shay was the one that kept her family going, dancing and doing their things, and another lady that lived in Ketchikan, she was the main one that kept her family going. And when she died, it quit. And when Esther died, her kids didn't go to celebration. They don't do their things that she kept going. And when I see Carol and Don in there and things like that, I know it's not going to disappear like that.
Right. I've noticed that there seems to be a lot of women that preserve their culture. Do men get as involved, or is that just, you know?
The women, the Indian women are very strong. I mean, I see it in And my father was a leader and a chief, but it was my mom that was behind him and kept him, you know, going. And I realized that more when she died. He just kind of, you know, she wasn't there to keep him strong.
Right.
And that's what the Native women did, whether it was Alaska Native Sisterhood. Mm-hmm. They formed to help the men, to keep going, help them build the AMB Hall, help them do this and that, and they were always there behind them. So we support our men. But in Wrangell, it's very hard because we don't have any male leaders. It's all women, so. When I first start, I'm sorry, I get carried away here.
No, it's okay.
But when I first started Indian dancing, and they sent me when I was 16 to Ketchikan to represent Wrangell in dancing. And it's the women that keep things going, and they're strong. They're very, very strong people to keep. And that's when you see that even though there's a chief, it's the women behind him that the ones that keep it going.
Right. And the clan house that I visited with you, that was your father's clan?
Yes.
Okay. And the Sun House was the Kikseti.
Mm-hmm, that was our house.
Okay. Can you tell me a bit about the Sun House?
I don't, except for being able to remember seeing it when I was growing up. They didn't do much there. It was just a great big white man building. It wasn't anything like Shakes Island. And it just had, at the peak, it had a round window. And they didn't do anything there. One of the men that were head of the Kikseti's was the caretaker of it. And then it went down, and we were hoping at one time when we were building the Totem Park that there would be some way we could get funding to put a replica of the Sun House there, but now we've got to concentrate on Shakes Island.
Yeah. So it was behind the Totem Park?
No, it was, you know, the Kikseti pole that stands right in the middle, it was right behind that.
Oh, okay. And so it was there a Sun House before that one was built? An older one that was on the same site, do you know?
I don't really know. That's the only one I've seen in pictures, and then I remember it being there when I grew up.
What is the relationship with the sun and the frog? Is there...
The sun we use as our emblem, as our crest, because of the Sun House.
Okay.
Because that's our tribal house.
I see.
And then the frog we get from our cultural... Each crest that we choose was chosen from some great thing that animal or something did for us, like the bear leading the people to the mountain during the flood. And there's a story about the killer whale when the man went overboard and went, and there's a story about killer whale. And there's a story about the frog that these people went out in their canoe and it got foggy out there, and and the people on the canoe heard this noise, and they spotted the frog on the water, and the frog swam and led them to shore.
Oh, neat.
So they took the frog as their crest.
Wow.
So all of our crests, all of our emblems have a meaning why we chose them.
And the frog clan here in Durango is a very old clan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In one of my papers that I found that my older brother wrote, in fact, I just came across it a month ago or so, and it told them how we got the name Kix, to where we came from originally. Mm-hmm. There's an island called Kix.
Oh.
And that's where we started from and then came. And so when they left Kix, that's another thing the white people did. Chief is not an Indian word. Mm-hmm. They had leaders. Mm-hmm. And the leader of the Kix said, when we leave here, we will be known as Kixetis, because we come from Kix.
Is that near here?
Yeah, in my paper that I had, my brother had description exactly where it was.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And then I don't remember reading it before, but I came across it when I was digging in some papers and I had, oh. I remember hearing it, but I didn't remember seeing it written. Is good it's written.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That'd be a neat place to visit, too.
Yeah.
The island of Kix.
Yeah.
When did the clan split, and why? It was too large?
Yeah. At one time, we had 7 clans. Some places say we had 8. But when my brother was teaching Don and I, it was always 7 clans that lived here on this island, and then they got so large they started to split. Mm-hmm. Like the Kixetis split, and the ones that left were called Kajadis, and then the Nanya IE split, and the ones that that clan was called that split from the Nanyais.
They're the brown bears?
In that book right there.
Nanyai is brown bear?
Is the bear and the killer whale.
I see. Mm-hmm.
There's also a clan up in Sitka that has the bear and the killer whale, but they aren't from Wrangell. They're the Kogwantons. Hmm. But they have the same crest.
And they have a frog clan there?
Kixadi. Up there.
Okay.
And depends on where you're from, where we originated. If you go up there, you'll hear the stories that the Kixadis were originated in Sitka. And you come down here and you find they were originated down here.
Yeah. So when would that split have occurred?
Excuse me?
With the Kixadi. When would they have split from the Kixeti? Around the time, so the Kajadi?
Kajetis.
Kajeti?
Mm-hmm. Around the time that they start getting too large for this area, and then they start moving on
so
to
they
different places.
Two different ones, the Kixeti and then the Kixadi?
Kixeti.
Kixadi. Okay, so those are 2 different ones, though. Kixadi and Kixeti?
Kajeti.
Kajeti?
Mm-hmm.
2 different ones, okay.
Yeah.
But the story here is that both of those originated as Kixeti.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they probably left at about the same time, do you think?
It must have been pretty close to the same time, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Are you familiar with the frog clan in Yakutat?
There's frogs everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, the Haidas have frogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
Do you know much about the Haida here?
No.
No? They're fairly recent to the Rango area? Do you know?
No. Okay. They've been here all my life, but...
So, the Kikseti honor the frog as their crest, right? Do you think that respect translates to the actual animals on the ground? When you see a frog and outside, do you feel a connection with that animal?
Yes, very much so. They have many stories about you. If you treat a frog good, like, for instance, one of the stories that were always told us, you don't ever hurt a frog or bad luck will come to you, and if you treat them good, and then you all have good fortune, or you always respected them. My father was fishing way out, and he's a gill netter, so he's fishing way out away from land, and he found a little frog hanging onto his cork line. And they didn't have outboard motors in those days. But he took that little frog and he rowed to shore and put it on shore. He caught very many fish.
Wow.
And then the other story they used to tell us when we were kids, because, you know, kids tend to, if they find toads or something, they want to catch them.
Yeah.
And put them in something and keep them. Our parents always told us, you don't mistreat frogs. He said there's a story about these little boys, and they came across some frogs, and they had a can with a lid, and they put it in there, put more than one in there, and then they threw it in the water. The boy that was catching the frogs, putting them in there, he got sick, and he started having fits, and he started, you know, getting worse, and they didn't know what to do with him, and they were asking the other boys, well, what happened? Where'd you go? What happened? Did you do something? Then finally one of the boys said he put frogs in a can and threw it. So the couple of the older men went out in a boat, and they found the can, and then they let him go, and then he was okay. So that's how they taught us at a young age that you don't hurt animals. And
that includes bringing them into captivity? Leave them where they are?
They're in their environment. But we were taught things like that so that we respect what we see.
Have you seen wood frogs in the area? Do you know? I have a picture of them. There should be some over on the mainland, but these guys. I haven't seen them on the island.
Hey, you see something like this would be up Telegraph.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a story, and just a side note, in Gwich'in Athabaskan that someone told me that this markings on them, the dark markings, came from time distant when two boys were throwing the frog in between of each other, a female, and they injured her, and these are bruises that are on all of the children, and they killed her, and they had bad luck for the rest of their lives. But another boy came along and buried the frog in feathers, and I guess he had good luck for the rest of his life. So the Athabascans won't hurt the frog either, based on a similar story. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. Hawaiians, too.
Hawaiians? With the frog?
With the frog.
Oh,
very respectful to the frog.
Are there any stories about salamanders or newts that you know of? Or were you ever taught anything about them?
No.
Okay.
Except just like that, you always treat them. You know, you don't hurt them, and, you know, things like that. I never heard any story connected with them like I did the frog.
Yeah. Did you see any newts or salamanders when you were small? Or?
Yeah, they're up... Where am I? Oh, up that hill, there was stairs going up the hill, there used to be a pond up there.
Ah.
Where they used to ice skate up there before they filled them in, build houses. And they used to go up there, and they always had salamanders up there.
Ah.
Kids would catch them.
Frogs, too?
I don't remember seeing any. Of course, I never went up. I lived down the Indian part of town, so we didn't come up this way very much, except in the winter to go ice skating up there. But I remember some kids bringing, you know, salamanders to school or something like that, and that's where they would have gotten them.
Do you consider it a form of disrespect that they filled it in, or the pond is... was removed?
I just think of it as just the different changes.
Okay.
But sometimes I wonder what in the world is going to happen up there, because that was all water. What's going to happen to those houses?
Right.
I don't know what they filled it in with.
Have you ever heard any stories about turtles or snakes?
No, because we don't have them here.
Okay. Yeah. I asked the question because there's been people that have told me they've seen them along the Stikine, and we have actual specimens from Telegraph Creek, and they think that the river might provide a good corridor for them to move through, but there's not many of them.
Mm.
I just thought, you know, we might be able to identify things that were there if people knew stories and things like that.
I wasn't really too interested or aware of turtles until I met this lady who is connected with our church, and she's... her crest is turtle.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she's Tlingit?
No, she's from the States.
Okay.
But she always try to find her turtles, and she finds me frogs.
Oh, neat.
Little pins or something.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. How do you think it would affect the Kiksetti if frogs ceased to exist, or if they died off, or there was a problem with them?
I think they would wonder what, why. Because it's like my brother said, you can never kill a frog, because they go down in the ground and freeze during the winter, and they come back in the spring and die out, and that's where they are.
Mm.
He said, you stomp on them or whatever, but you can never kill them. My family was very strong frog Kiksetti people. We were taught to highly respect that Kiksetti pole.
Mm.
Mm. My mother was one of the highest Kiksetti women in Wrangell.
Oh, indeed. What was her name?
Louise, her Tlingit name was Kichisi.
What does that mean?
She spoke, I think, 5 different languages of the Indians, because our culture has different protocols, and they teach them at a very young age. Like, my uncle was a master carver, and he was taught at a young age on carving. And my oldest brother, if it were in the day when he was starting to be taught to be a storyteller, a historian, and they teach him from a young age. And I never understood that until I was already, my children were grown, and I had a naming ceremony down at the tribal house.
Mm.
And I explained to my nephew, who wanted his children named, how they go about naming and everything. And his children, he married a non-native. So his wife had to be adopted by the opposite of what he was. He was a raven. He had to be, his wife had to be adopted a bear or eagle. And Esther Shea was a bear. And so I asked her if she would be able or have it in her wanting to adopt my nephew's wife and children. Mm-hmm. And she said she would, so I got back to my nephew and told him everything he had to do to make this naming the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so he did, and his brother's boy was, he was a, his mother was a raven, and he didn't need to be adopted. But they gave him his Tsinket name. And when we had those three children up there getting their names, plus one of the mothers, and we had the elders sitting on the side, we had Esther Shea and Carol Brady and Marlita Wallace. We're sitting on the side as the elders, as witnesses. And I explained to the parents what had to be done and why. And so when they got gifts for the elders, plus they got things for Esther because she adopted my family. And then when it was over, Esther called me over and she pointed to one of my great nephews. She said, "That's your Indian right there." And I looked at her and she said, "He's Indian." The other two were Indian too, but she could see in him what probably our elders could see in the different children when they were growing up, what they were. Were they storytellers? Were they, you know, like this? And then they would start training them, start teaching them. And it's sure enough, that boy, he loves to dance. He loves his history. And he came and went to Celebration. He came here and with his dad. And I have I've been wanting to do this, and I never had a time. Time gets away from you. But I had, my husband had this frog hat. One piece of wood, a big frog carved hat. And the things I have, I'm a caretaker. There's a difference between a caretaker and a owner. I am a caretaker of the Kiksetti robe that's in the museum and of a raven backbone staff that I put in the museum to be safe, and another, what they call a keeping time stick. I'm a caretaker of those things for my people, and they were given to me to be caretaker when I turned 21. And my father brought them to me and said, "You are a caretaker." So I learned. He told me, my mother told me, they said, a caretaker only takes care of these things for their tribe. Doesn't belong to you. You can't sell it. And so I'm a caretaker of these things. And when I went to one of the elders' conferences up in Juneau, and I know it was Sitka, I was sitting with the elders there, and I was never, when I was in high school, when I first got married, I was never this talkative. I was very quiet in to myself. But I went to elders conference and I stood up and I said, "We need to change with the times. We can't live in the past the way we used to because the generations have changed and we need to change. And I said, one of the things I have done, and I think this is a way we should be looking towards, because they already had experiences here and Klukwan where the caretakers have sold what they were taking care of. Klukwan, they sold their valuables and they had a hard time getting them back. And so when I was at the conference, I said, I have, because times have changed, we can't do just agreement on verbal. I said, so the robe that I'm a caretaker of, I put it in my will, who the next caretaker will be. The staff, the same way, the things I have are in my will as to who the next caretakers are. And I have talked to each one of them and explained to them what a caretaker was. And so I really believe that has to be done with our people, because word of mouth isn't good anymore. Our words aren't as powerful and meaningful, because what they did long ago came from here. It doesn't come from there anymore. Our blood is getting so diluted that it's not coming straight from the heart the way it used to, because you didn't grow up in it. So that was how that caretaker is.
The hat, is there a story behind
the hat?
It?
My husband, this man knew I was a frog. He's a carver, Wayne Price, up in Haines. He knew I was a very strong Kicksetti. He sent a picture of this hat down to my husband. He says, I have this hat, I just finished it. Would you like to buy it? And he bought it for a lot of money. And I've been wanting to take it to Celebration, and I wore it myself only twice. It is very heavy.
Yeah.
And anyway, this Celebration, I told my sister, she has three sons, I only have one. I said, I want to take the frog hat to Celebration. I've been wanting to. And I said, one of your boys can wear it because they're Kicksettis. And we got up there. It will fit her grandson to a T, and he's the one that Esther Shea was an Indian. Said he was an Indian. He wore it so perfectly, danced so proudly. It was just awesome. It was like it was made for him. It was beautiful. I hope somebody got good pictures of him in it.
Yeah.
So, it was awesome. And but my husband got it, and he wasn't an Indian, but he respected me and my culture and my people, and he let me raise my children in their culture. And I told him, I said, you know, I can't wear this unless it's handed to me in public. And so we had a Native women's conference, or a Native conference in Wrangell. And we had a dancing going on down the island, and he brought it down. He was a very quiet man. And I didn't think he would do it, but he came. He didn't tell me he was going to do it. But he came and he brought the hat and came up on the stage. He said, I got this for my wife, so she'll have something to hand down to our children.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why he bought it. So, because the rest of the things I can't give, I can't sell, I can't give. And he bought that one so it would go to his children.
Neat.
So that was pretty awesome.
Very neat. Mm-hmm. and you're keeping it until you pass, and then you give it to your children. Okay.
That everybody who's a frog can wear it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very heavy. Heavy in more ways than one. You know, it's just like I told my priest, she said, one of my younger priests, she said, sometimes this white collar gets really tight. Sometimes it's really hard to wear. I said, I don't know if you believe it or not, or what you think of it. I said, but when I put my button robe on, I said, sometimes that's very heavy, and sometimes it's hard to wear. I said, but you have to be strong to be able to wear it. And she said, okay. So it is.
Great. Do you have any guidance or suggestions for me, things you'd like to see me do or pursue, questions that you'd like to see a student look at, whether it's with your culture or just wrangle? Or
I think you, myself, I think you got a good start on meeting people, and you've made a good impression in explaining and explaining to everybody what it's about and why you're doing it and things like it is a lot of help to us as well as you. Because so many times white people come into our life, into our culture, and we don't know, we don't understand what they're doing, and they don't ever ask us. And we've been told so many times that we get kind of leery when somebody asks, because they never ask us before. You know, it's like the Forest Service.
Yeah.
You get kind of leery when they start asking.
Right.
But I think what you were saying earlier about maybe doing something on Wrangle and having it put on computer or whatever so that it could be passed on or read about or preserved or whatever is a good thing.
Okay. Great. Who else would you suggest that I talk to? I'm hoping to talk to everybody someday, but are there people, key people, you think that hold a lot of really important information that can kind of guide and steer me?
Probably on different things in Wrangle, but I don't know anybody right offhand on the cultural part, except for maybe, you know, Dawn, she reads a lot, and out of that red book, and experienced things or have gone to different workshops or something and learned more.
Okay.
Because a lot of us, we are still learning.
Right.
No, you never get through learning.
Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong experience. Well, I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's an honor. So thank you.
Thank you. I got a charter and I took her, paid for them to take a trip up the river. Oh, it was so awesome.
I hear it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What does it mean to the Tlingit of Wrangle, the river?
that was our life, you know. That's, they went up there in the summer and lived there all summer and got their food and everything and for the winter and brought it back down. And there's a lot of trading going on there.
Do you think that today there's still a connection with the river? I know a lot of people still enjoy it, but...
Yeah, that, not the same...
No.
Not the same connection, I don't think.
Yeah. What about for the Tlingit? Just the stories, I guess, does that instill in you a sense of pride, the river, or respect?
Yeah, the stories that I remember hearing were from my older brother. Hmm. And you don't hear those no more.
No. Do you feel any sort of spiritual connection to the river?
When I went up there, I went up there with, on this charter, this young man, he was really cared about the river and respected it and everything. And I went up on this charter and I said, could you stop here? So he stopped and I said, would it bother you if I got out, you know, how the charter boats, so you open up the front, the doors. I said, would it bother you if I got out and sang a song to my ancestors that used to live here? He let me do that and I sung. A week later, and he said, that was the biggest highlight of my whole charter.
Wow.
But it was something I felt myself, I can't say everybody, you know, feels what I feel.
Yeah.
But it was pretty awesome.
I almost had the opportunity last week to go with Clara Haley to the Potlatch and Telegraph.
Oh, she just got back.
Oh, did she? Did she have fun? Did you talk to her? It was a last-minute kind of deal, and the boat was full, unfortunately, but I hope that it went well. You've talked to her since she got back?
I just poked my head into her shop and said, hi. I said, how was your trip? Oh, she was all excited.
Yeah.
Still. Oh, I cool. said, oh, boy. Yeah. Bet you had a ball.
Hope she took some pictures. I'm going to have to look at them.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.